Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I'm joined now by New York Times reporter William Rashbaum to hear about his investigation into whether tens of thousands of New York customers over many years were cheated by home heating oil businesses. And since the alleged cheating involves cutting the refined heating oil with waste oil, the implication is not only for how we were being ripped off as residents and homeowners, but also that more toxic fumes could have been released into the city's air, polluting the breathing space for everybody. Welcome back to the show, William Rashbaum.
Thank you, Brian. I just want to make one little correction to what you said before. It's not an investigation that I've done or we've done here at the Times, but there's an ongoing inquiry that the Manhattan District Attorney is leading along with some other agencies, and there are two civil lawsuits. So we just wrote about those matters.
We haven't
come to any conclusions ourselves.
Thank you for correcting that. Now, tens of thousands of customers over many years. This sounds big. These allegations, how big are they?
Well, I think that's still up in the air right now. The DA's office last week executed search warrants at about half a dozen companies, and I think they got records dating back 10 years. And I think that the answer to that question won't be clear until they've had a chance to review some of those documents. The civil lawsuits lay out what they contend to be a pretty big scheme. At the same time, the companies that have been named in the civil lawsuits and those that were the subject of the searches have been adamant that they're not doing anything wrong, and they're serving their customers, the biggest ones, of course, being the city, which buys, I think last year, some 20 million gallons of heating oil, and the state, which also is a huge purchaser of heating oil.
If these allegations are true, what does it mean if I live in a building or own a home that bought adulterated heating oil?
Well, if they're true, it probably means that you got ripped off, and it also probably means that some degree of pretty bad stuff went into the air. How much and what the impact of that would have been, I think depends on a lot of variables, from exactly how much waste oil, again, if the allegations are true, how much waste oil was mixed in, which way the wind was blowing, where you or your family was standing when the wind was blowing. I mean, I just think there are a lot of things up in the air.
And damage to equipment potentially as well.
No pun intended.
Up in the air, right. But before we get to the broader environmental consequences, if they were mixing this waste oil with regular home heating oil, does it burn less efficiently? Would people's heating bills have gone up? Things like that. Just the direct personal consequences for homeowners and building owners.
Well, the heating bills would be higher for several reasons. One, you would have to burn more of this adulterated oil in order to heat your building. You would have to then be buying more, getting less bang for your buck. And it would also, according to some of the experts in this area, it would also be damaging your furnace. And so ultimately there would be a cost there.
Was this oil supplied both to big buildings and to private homes?
I think it pretty much runs the gamut from private homes and residential and commercial buildings to large institutions, hospitals, universities, as we said, the city, the state. The oil in question here is two grades of heating oil that is burned in older furnaces. Newer buildings are either have more efficient furnaces and burn a higher quality oil, higher grade of oil. better grade of oil, I should say, or natural gas. These are large institutions where it would be, because it's more costly to switch over, they've been doing it at a slower rate.
Listeners, any questions about this investigation into mixing waste oil with better quality home heating oil that the Manhattan District Attorney is doing? And there are a couple of private lawsuits around this, too. New York Times reporter William Rashbaum here as he follows the story. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as we mentioned, beyond the cheating side, there are environmental implications for using waste oil in boilers. You quoted Robert F. Kennedy Jr., environmentalist, as claiming that Castle, the company, quote, has turned every boiler or furnace that it services into a toxic waste incinerator, unquote. What is burning waste oil do to the air?
Well, my understanding is that, you know, most waste oil contains a lot of bad stuff. Waste oil is either much of it consists of used motor oil or oil sludge that's removed from boilers that has, you know, metal shavings and other residual, other byproducts of an internal combustion engine or a furnace. And when those substances are burned, they release a range of toxins into the air. You know, what Mr. Kennedy cited was a very sort of nasty mix of chemicals, xylene, benzene, others known carcinogens, you know, mercury, lead, arsenic. You know, it sounds really bad. If that's, you know, again, if the allegations are true, what would have been released, including, according to the lawsuits and, you know, people involved in the investigation, they're looking at oil that was sold to schools. If indeed that was burned at schools, that's a very troubling situation.
Polly in Sparta, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Polly.
Hi. I'm just wondering, does this only apply to New York, or would this apply to people who use home heating oil in New Jersey?
It's a great question. It's brought by the Manhattan DA, right?
It is. I can't say that I know the full scope of the range of customers and where they are that these companies were servicing. You know, the companies named in the civil lawsuit are both relatively large. Castle is huge. Hess, which civil lawyers went to some lengths to note, may have been misled itself and possibly a victim here, is much, much larger. So it you know, it remains unclear. Some of the elements of these schemes involved delivery companies, so it depends not only on where the oil is coming from, but the companies that were delivering it.
Right, and I don't know the service areas of Castle Oil or Hess in this regard, but just clarify this for us. I know you mentioned that this is based somewhat on a raid by state and federal investigators earlier this month, but then also this week, several building owners filed lawsuits against Castle Oil Corporation and Hess Corporation, charging in this private lawsuit that they had sold them adulterated oil. Are these two events connected, the government investigation and the private civil suit?
You know, they are connected in a way. The two companies named in the civil lawsuit were not subject to the searches that were conducted last week.
So who was?
The allegations, the companies that were searched were statewide oil and heating,
okay,
which is a trucking company. There was four companies that are interrelated: County Oil, which is a waste oil company; New York Oil Recovery, also a waste oil company; J&B Waste Oil, and I think Paradise Oil. They have common ownership. Two of them are licensed to re-refine or recycle waste oil, which is legal under the law. It's legal under the law to mix recycled waste oil and what's known as virgin oil to be sold as number four or number six heating oil, which are the grades in question here. However, the lawsuits allege that there was unrefined waste oil. The investigation is looking at whether there was unrefined waste oil mixed with virgin oil. And the city contracts and the state contracts are written in such a way that they bar blended oil even if it includes re-refined waste oil. So there's a lot of moving parts here. It's sort of a complicated set of facts.
But a massive ripoff, if true. Let's take another phone call. Robert in Winter Park, Florida, but you used to work for the city's Department of Environmental Protection. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. In about 1983, I was running a program for them for sampling waste oil because we were highly suspect in the Bureau of Air Resources of all the pollution and heavy sludge that was coming out of all the furnaces in the city. So what we did is set up an enforcement action, and we had our agents that were had the authority to pull trucks over coming across the GW Bridge and the Verrazano Bridge, coming from New Jersey and Staten Island, where most of the activity was, and pulled them over, did samples, and found in the study that went on for months that a level of about 5% adulterated oil, which when you extrapolate that over the entire city, is just a huge, huge amount of pollutants and toxins going into the air. And this has been going on for over 30 years, and we had the FBI involved, and there was some lawsuits and such, but I guess to this day, things haven't changed much.
So are you surprised to hear this investigation and these charges, or it sounds like you're, you know, same as it ever was?
Well, I am a bit surprised because I really thought, you know, back then it could have been, you know, something cyclical that we did and all the activity. It's a very simple procedure for them to mix these adulterated waste into the oil. So it probably died down for a period of time, maybe years. And then when things cooled off, it started up again. So I am disappointed and a bit surprised. I mean, we also found that there were a lot of links in those days to organized crime that were running these businesses and these truckers and distributors as well.
Robert, thank you for chiming in with that history. And William, is there any alleged organized crime link in this case?
Well, there isn't. You know, and I certainly would love to talk to Robert later.
Robert, hang on. Robert, we're going to put you on hold, actually. And if you're willing to give your contact info to our producer, then William's going to call you up to get some more historical background.
But Robert's point that there have been cases like these, like this, investigations like this, and that they've been linked to organized crime is a good one. If you go back right around the time that he's talking about, in 1981, there was a case in which ultimately there was an investigation and ultimately charges brought by District Attorney Morgenthau, two guys who were basically, you know, ripping off fuel oil customers by bribing city inspectors. There was another case in 98 where fuel oil companies that had some alleged links to organized crime were pumping air instead of heating oil into some 500 city-owned buildings. I think that was to the tune of about $6.5 million. The current investigation in some measure grows out of a case from 2007 in which there were two companies and their principals who were indicted. And
we're going to run out of time in about 30 seconds. But to close that loop, isn't there an ongoing inspection process? And if so, they're revealing now and alleging that this illegal mixing of waste oil has been going on for years and years and years, why didn't the city routinely inspect in the way that Robert was describing so it would be caught more quickly if it was going on at all? And we have 15 seconds.
Well, the city does inspect, but it depends where and when you inspect. Castle Oil maintained to me the other day, and I think we put it in the story, that they inspect. They have city inspectors on site who test every truck leaving their facility that's bound for a city consumer. So.
And we have to leave it there. William Reschbaum, New York Times reporter, following the investigation and charges with respect to adulterated home heating oil in New York City. Thanks for explaining it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.